his left. Tough shot. Made it. End of the line.
Bad pass. Tipped away and Indiana's got it. Up the floor to Oladipo. He will lay up. Score!
Jones. Watford for the win.
Yeah!
It's Indiana. It's Indiana.
What's going on, Hoosier fans? Welcome back to another edition of Podcast on the Brink. Matt Dollinger here, and I am joined by Justin Albers and Alex Bozich, who are on site in Washington, D.C., just finished up the IU pressers and practices. Justin, how's it going, man?
Going well, Matt. Good to be with you. It's been a while since we did our last show.
I know. Are you you and Alex playing nice in D.C.?
We're trying to. I mean, it's day one of the trip. Third trip in 3 weeks, so it's bound to end in bad fashion, especially if Indiana is to win tomorrow night and we have to spend all week together.
Yeah, Alex, how is Inside the Hall funding this trip? Are you kind of hoping they don't make the Final Four, since that would include a trip to Atlanta, or are the coffers deep enough?
I think we'll be good. We're ready to go for whatever happens. So. We may have to make Albers ride the mega bus down to Atlanta, but
yeah.
Well, other than that, we'll be good.
That's fair. You know, you gotta earn it. You can't just fly first class everywhere. I know how Alex usually travels. anyways, lots to talk about today. Obviously, IU has made it to the Sweet 16. They face Syracuse Thursday night. Really great matchup. It's one I think everyone was kind of hoping they would see when they first saw the bracket. First, Justin, let's start with the Temple game and just go back to that for a second. Really was a game that looked like the Hoosiers might let slip away. Khalif Wyatt was incredible. Shot after shot, just really looked like the Owls were going to put away the Hoosiers. What did IU do right to come away with the win there?
Well, they really didn't quit, Matt. I mean, you get down to a Temple team when Indiana's the favorite. You have Cody Zeller foul trouble in the first half. Jordan Holes has a shoulder injury. And like you mentioned, Khalif Wyatt was just going off on them in the first half for 20 points and shot it pretty well to begin the second half as well. But they just never stopped playing. I mean, there's been some former Indiana teams. Won't mention any names as far as coaches, Kelvin Sampson. But whoops. Indiana teams that stopped playing and they didn't have that will. And when Tom Crean came in here, he said he was going to change the culture around Indiana basketball, and we couldn't have seen that any clearer than on Sunday when they're down to Temple, everything's going against them, and they have to come up with some winning plays at the end, and that's just what they did. Christian Watford with the big block and rebound, Victor Oladipo with the three-pointer, Jordan Holes with a couple big shots down the stretch. They just came up with enough winning plays, and they never quit on themselves or each other, which I thought was important. And maybe, even though that game was closer than some people anticipated, maybe that's going to help them going down the stretch, the fact that they had to battle from behind and work so hard to win an early round game like that.
Yeah, Alex, the James Madison game was such an easy win for IU. Do you think it was good that they did get tested in the second round against Temple?
Definitely. You don't want to go into this week here overconfident and not really feeling like you've been tested the first two games. And I think the Temple game was kind of one of those games this season that we've seen Indiana lose, and I think it gives them confidence going into this game against Syracuse, coming off a game where, you know, pretty much everything didn't go their way for, you know, 37-38 minutes, and they were still able to kind of grind out a win. If you look at the times that they've been beaten by Wisconsin, the Minnesota game on the road, the Butler game, those are all teams that kind of did the same things to Indiana. They were real physical, and Indiana didn't respond and win those games. But against Temple, they were able to kind of fight through adversity and as Justin said, make some key plays at the end and kind of persevere and win. So I think that's, as Justin wrote, I think he summed it up pretty well in his column after the game was, you know, winning ugly for them makes them even more dangerous going forward.
Yeah, I think, you know, it felt like Temple was up 12 or 13 the entire game, but you'd look at the scoreboard and it would actually only be 2 or 3. So being able to hang with a team when you don't have your best basketball is definitely key. And IU's got enough playmakers where if it is a close game at the end, they can win it. As Justin said, those two big plays in particular from Watford and Oladipo won it for him. Let's transition over to Syracuse. and do a little good cop, bad cop for a second, guys, because I am really worried about this game for the Hoosiers. I look at Syracuse, and I just see mismatch after mismatch. You know, if IU had five Victor Oladipos, I think they'd be all right, but Oladipo can only guard one of these guys. Justin, what's going to go right for IU to win this game? How would they come away with the win?
Well, I think they would tell you it's going to start on the defensive end because that's where they get all of their energy from, and that's where they usually start when they have the hot starts, is because they're playing solid defense and turning it into offense. And against a team like Syracuse, who wants to get back and set up in that basically a 3-2 zone, they want to set up in that zone every possession. So if you can play defense, get some turnovers, get out in transition a little bit early, I think that really makes the game a lot easier for them. And like you mentioned, there's a lot of athletes on that Syracuse front line and in the backcourt. And they've struggled at times offensively. They're a very inconsistent offensive team, but they're certainly dangerous because of the athleticism and the weapons that they put all over at all five positions. So I think defense early will be the key in trying to find some points in transition, because if they have to score all their points in the half court, kind of like they did against Temple, that's going to be really hard to do, and they're going to have to be shooting the ball extremely well from the outside to even stay close with Syracuse.
Yeah, Alex, we've seen, you know, Oladipo lock down some of the best players in the country this year, but we've also seen him kind of play that roamer role where he just kind of tries to jump passing lanes and help everybody out a little bit. Is there someone on Syracuse you think Oladipo should be matched up against, or do you think he'd be, you know, best served kind of doing a little bit of everything?
I think probably the two guys you'll see him on the most are going to be Michael Carter-Williams, who, you know, the point guard who a lot of people have as a lottery pick, one of the best assist rates in the country. And then C.J. Fair, who's a 6'8 guy that can really get out, step out and shoot the three. He's shooting almost 50% from three. I think those are kind of the two guys. I think you'll see Watford probably on Sutherland, and then Cody Zeller on whoever the big man, Rakeem Christmas or Kata. Both of those guys kind of rotate out there. But I think Carter Williams is probably the key for Indiana to kind of keep him down. When he turns the ball over a lot, they're not as effective. And also, if you don't want Fair to get going from the outside. So they've got a difficult matchup there, because just looking at the size at their starting lineups, they're going 6'4", 6'6", 6'8", 6'8", and 6'9". You know, who does Yogi Ferrell and who do Jordan Holes guard? I mean, this is a game where we're probably going to see a lot of Will Sheehy.
Yeah. I mean, Holes and Yogi are even mismatches against their point guard, Brandon Trish, like you said, who's 6'4", and he's a great player. He's definitely someone IU's got to be worried about. I think Sheehy is going to get a ton of minutes, but I don't know if IU can win without Holes and Yogi. They can't really just punt those two guys. And considering Syracuse just has incredible perimeter defense, they're 6th in the country in three-point percentage defense, IU really needs Holes out there, I think, to hit a couple threes, considering, you know, the Orange are so good against that. Justin, do you see Yogi and Holes having an impact on this game, or do you not see them getting on the floor too much?
Yeah, I think they'll have to have an impact on this game, because as we've seen with the Syracuse zone over the years, especially with Yogi, you mentioned Holes shooting, but Yogi's penetration and ability to get into the middle of the zone will be important, get in the middle and kick, get in the middle and find somebody on the block, because you have to find a way to break this zone down. You can't just rotate the ball on the perimeter and hope you're going to get open shots, because even if you do get decent looks and you're missing them, you're not going to be very effective against the Syracuse zone. So I do think Yogi and Jordan will play a significant role in this game. And speaking of Jordan, his shoulder that he injured on Sunday looks fine. He was out here shooting the ball well in practice this afternoon. So Jordan looks fine as far as shooting. As far as who he's going to match up with defensively, that's a bigger question and a more difficult one. To kind of go off what Alex was saying about Oladipo, I think you might see him on various guys throughout the game, just because you don't want any one guy on Syracuse to get too comfortable. You don't want Trish to get comfortable shooting from behind the arc. You don't want Carter Williams getting comfortable penetrating. And you certainly don't want C.J. Fair getting comfortable anywhere the way he's been playing toward the latter part of the season. So I think he'll rotate more than he has at other parts of the season, just because they have so many weapons.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a game where it's really important for IU to clog the paint. They're really, you know, Syracuse is so good at getting to the rim and has so many guys that have either height or athleticism advantage. I think that's got to be IU's strategy. And, Yeah, unfortunately, that means they're going to have to dig a little bit into their bench. I think Honor Perret is going to have to play, you know, 10, 12 minutes and maybe pick up some fouls. I think Derek Elston's going to have to get out there too. And IU's just going to have to be so worried about getting Cody Zeller and Christian Watford in foul trouble, because they really can't afford to play long stretches without either one of them. But, you know, Syracuse is not a good free throw shooting team. That is one of their weaknesses. So I think, you know, stopping them from getting easy buckets is key. Bozich, are you comfortable seeing Honor Perret out there in the Sweet 16?
I don't know about that one, but just kind of looking at Syracuse's profile overall, one thing that stands out to me is how poorly they are on the defensive glass. I feel like that's an area where Indiana, even if they're not hitting threes, I think there's going to be a lot of chance opportunities for second-chance points in this game. Because as much as we've kind of talked about or, you know, written about Indiana's struggles on the defensive glass this season, Syracuse is even worse on the defensive glass. And a lot of that probably comes from the zone. And, you know, it doesn't – the natural inclination when you're playing a zone isn't to find a man and box out, because you're usually guarding a specific area of the court. And I feel like Indiana, you know, Indiana's been one of the best offensive rebounding teams in the country all year. And I think that's maybe a big key to this game, because there's not going to be a whole lot of open looks from the perimeter. But even if Indiana can get the ball, you know, inside and get some second chance points, I think that's going to be critical as well.
You guys are just coming from the open practice IU has, which is NCAA mandated, a rare glimpse of what the Hoosiers are like when they're working on things, though I'm sure it's not an authentic look at them. Albers, can you set the scene a little bit and tell me what you guys saw during the open workouts today?
Yeah, unlike some of the other teams you see throughout the NCAA tournament and some of the other teams you see here, Indiana is pretty intense with their practice here, even though it's only 50 minutes and it's open to the public, so you know they're not going to do anything that's going to give anything away to the opponent or anything like that. But Indiana gets up and down the floor. They're intense. They're getting in a sweat. They're getting tired. Tom Crean is openly yelling at guys, telling them what they're doing wrong, correcting them. I mean, when you watch Miami or Marquette and some of the teams we saw last week, it's more of a shoot-around for those teams. They use the 50 minutes as a public shoot-around, have the fans get a chance to see them in person. But Indiana's not really into that. I mean, Tom Crean is a pretty intense guy, and so that shouldn't come as a surprise that his practices are that way. But if they're going somewhere else and practicing just as hard today, I'd like to know how long they're going, because with the game tomorrow night, that's kind of an interesting strategy the day before. As far as what they did on the court, a lot of shooting stuff, a lot of transition. Got to see Hunter Perea shoot some three-pointers, which is always fun.
Good.
Cody Zeller shoot some threes. And, yeah, it was insightful. It was good to see what they're like in an intense environment like that that's not a game.
What about, you know, I think I saw something on Twitter. There was a cameo at practice today.
Yeah, John Harbaugh, the head coach of the Baltimore Ravens, is here to see his brother-in-law, Tom Crean. Of course, Baltimore is not too far from D.C., so he was here. John Thompson was also here from Georgetown. But we talked to Harbaugh briefly. He said he's already bought a plane ticket to Atlanta, but he's only going to go if Indiana's in it.
That's pretty cool. Alex, I know you guys haven't been in D.C. too long, but do you get the sense there's more IU or Syracuse fans there?
Just based on who was here at the open practice today, I would say more Indiana, but I'm not sure that's going to be a good barometer for what it's going to be like tomorrow night. One of the guys that we traveled here with today, Steve Anders from WDRB in Louisville, told me that he's a graduate of Syracuse, and he expects a pretty strong showing of Syracuse fans here. It's kind of within driving distance, I believe, for them. So, I would still expect Indiana to probably have the strongest showing of fans here. And there's a strong alumni base here, led by Greg Rosenstein, of course. I think it'll be definitely a pro Indiana crowd by the time the ball goes up tomorrow night.
Let's look ahead for a second and get ahead of ourselves and assume IU is able to beat Syracuse. Potential matchup with either Marquette or Miami. Either one would be a great game. Justin, is there a team you think IU would rather face or maybe matches up better against?
I think either one is a pretty good matchup for Indiana. I think either one really is a better matchup for Indiana than Syracuse is. But I'd really like to see them play Miami just because of the amount of coverage that team has gotten this year. And Miami's a really good team, but I think position by position, Indiana matches up pretty well with them because they both like to run. They're both athletic. But I think Indiana's better at a couple of positions, and I think they're stronger overall as a defensive team. So I'd like to see the Miami matchup, but of course Marquette is playing really good basketball right now, and if Vanderbilt continues to shoot the way he has from the perimeter the last few games, and they certainly could be the team Indiana would see on Saturday night.
How about you, Alex? Do you think Kareen wants a shot at Marquette, his old school, or do you think he'd rather see Miami?
I can't say that he has a preference, but if I had to guess, I think Marquette's probably the better matchup for Indiana. Although I will say that the way that the amount of physicality they bring to the game could pose some problems for Indiana. But I just think Miami has more talent overall than Marquette, and at some point in this tournament, talent is going to prevail. Marquette was lucky to get by Davidson, and they were lucky to get by Butler. So luck's a part of it, but the more talented team, I think, is Miami. So I think Indiana would probably have an easier time with Marquette, but I agree with Justin that Syracuse, to me, this kind of feels like a regional final in a lot of ways. I'm not saying that those other two teams can't make it to the Final Four, but I just feel like the winner of this game sets himself up with a really, really good chance to go to Atlanta.
Yeah, I mean, Syracuse has been the most inconsistent of those four teams this year, but their best-case scenario is really good. I mean, when Syracuse is at their best, they are, a top-five team in the country, no doubt. And, their number four seed is a little misleading just because they stunk it up at the end of the year. But I think you're right. I think this is going to be the toughest game IU would face in the East region if they are able to advance to the Final Four. Looking around the bracket, guys, I'm pretty sure you guys have noticed this, but there are four Big Ten teams still alive: Michigan State, Ohio State, IU, and Michigan, and all of them have a pretty good chance of making the Final Four. What do you guys think are the chances of an all-conference Final Four, Justin?
I don't think it's very good that they get all four in, because I don't see anybody really beating Louisville at this point the way that they've been playing lately, so I don't think Michigan State makes it. But I think there is a pretty good chance, maybe a 50-50 chance, that you get three out of four teams in, because Ohio State's path is, there's virtually no way they shouldn't make the Final Four. Indiana should be the favorite to make the Final Four from the East region, since they're the number one seed. And then Michigan, the way they've been playing lately, could easily win the South and knock off Kansas. So I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that you get four in, but I think it'd be a lot more likely, and I do think we'll see three in the Final Four.
Does that sound right to you, Alex?
I'm not sure on Michigan. I feel pretty good about Ohio State going through, just because the way they've played ever since Indiana beat them in Columbus, and then they went on the road to Wisconsin and got pounded. Since then, they've been a totally different team, and they're going to be heavily favored, I think, to go to the Final Four based on the matchups they have this weekend. Michigan, the one thing that kind of scares me about the game they have with Kansas is they rely so much on Trey Burke getting to the rim, and Kansas has Jeff Withey at the kind of at the back of its defense, and he may be the best shot blocker in college basketball, so it's not going to be as easy for Trey Burke to kind of finish around the rim. And then Michigan State, I kind of agree with Justin. I'm not even sure they get past Duke. Duke, I feel like, has played pretty well with Ryan Kelly in the lineup. I think they just got one loss, and even if they were able to get by Duke, I just don't think they match up very well with Louisville. So I feel pretty good about saying two at this point. Three wouldn't surprise me, but four, I just don't see that one playing out.
Yeah, the Midwest bracket is brutal. So much for Louisville getting a break with the number one overall seed. Duke and Michigan State hanging around can't make Rick Pitino feel very good. Do either of you have all four of your Final Four teams still alive in your bracket?
I do, yeah. Alex didn't do a bracket because he doesn't like to be wrong. We all know Alex is always right, so he doesn't want to be wrong on anything. All four of my Final Four teams are in. I actually had Indiana, Michigan, Ohio State and Louisville, so, and then an Indiana Louisville national championship. So we'll see if that happens.
Yeah, someone wrote in Georgetown to go to the Final Four in my bracket. I'm still trying to figure out who did that. I don't know.
You didn't have Florida Gulf Coast? That must have been a misprint.
I never heard of Florida Gulf Coast like everyone else, and I didn't even think twice about it. And it was a terrible decision, apparently.
Awful.
I won't live it down. I'll never pick Georgetown to win another NCAA game. I promise you. This is
you
it.
You should. Any school located in the vicinity of where Greg Rosenstein grew up, you should never pick them to win anything.
I think just listening to him, you know, just babble constantly brainwashed me into thinking Georgetown was good and, I don't know, RG3 or something. I don't know. I don't know what it was, but he definitely had an effect on me.
It's a good thing the Redskins weren't in the bracket, or you might have taken them to the final.
Oh, God. Course. Yeah, I definitely would have. All right, guys, before I let you go, I know you guys got a lot of writing to do. Going to ask for predictions. I know Bozich doesn't like to be wrong, so, Bozich, you better get your prediction right. Alex, who do you think's winning between IU and Syracuse?
I'm going with Indiana. I just feel like based on the Temple game and kind of the fact that they've been battle-tested all year and whatever, it seems like a lot of people – are probably going to be picking against them going into this week, into this game, and when in the past they've been picked against, they've always kind of played better. So I'm going to go with Indiana to march on to Saturday's regional final.
Justice. Yeah, I'm going to go with Indiana as well. I'm not going to give you a point range like 8-21 like Dan Dockage did on the radio earlier, but I think Indiana will win fairly comfortably. I don't think it'll be a late one or two possession game because I just feel like they're going to be able to get out and transition early. They're going to knock down some shots against the zone. And Syracuse at times has been hard-pressed to find offense, and that could be, again, the case tomorrow. Because what they've gotten lately is James Sutherland hitting a ridiculous amount of three-pointers, mm-hmm. and Indiana will know that and try and take that away. And as Alex mentioned earlier, if they have Oladipo on Michael Carter-Williams and force him into some turnovers, Syracuse is a pretty bad offensive team when Carter Williams isn't setting his teammates up. So I think Indiana by a pretty comfortable margin in this one.
I got it being really close. I do have IU winning, but Syracuse scares me more than any team in the East. I think they're one of the toughest teams in the country for IU to match up against. I think it's really going to come down to Will Sheehy in this game. You guys talked about him earlier. I think he's the X factor on both ends, especially, you know, with Jordy and Yogi maybe not being too much of a factor in this game. I think it's going to come down to him to have a big game, kind of lift IU in this one. I see it going down to the wire. I got a sinking feeling in my stomach about this one, guys. It's been good listening to you guys talk about it, but I don't feel too good.
Oh, no. Are you taking Syracuse?
I'm not taking Syracuse, but I'm really close. I'm really close. Oh. It's 51-49 to me. I just, you know, we talked about all those matchup problems, and I still don't know who's going to guard James Sutherland. I don't think we even really got into that. And, you know, he's arguably their best player.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, when he's hitting three-point shots, he's a very difficult matchup. I think Watford will guard him, and I think he'll do a pretty good job.
I do think it will be a great game, though. I don't think we're going to see a blowout on either end. So, should be a good one. I hope you guys – are you guys staying regardless on Saturday, or are you heading home if things don't go well Thursday?
We'll see how it plays out, but both games should be really good here tomorrow. Marquette and Miami – it's going to be a really good one, too.
Awesome. Well, guys, thanks for making the time. I appreciate you coming on the show. And thanks, everyone, for listening. Be sure to check back with Inside the Hall for more NCAA tournament coverage and everything IU. We'll be back after the Syracuse game, regardless of the outcome. So also check back for Inside the Hall until then. Justin, Alex, you guys have a good one. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having us, man.
Thank you.
All right. Until next time, guys, have a good one. Thanks for listening. So long.